kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'd like to share with you in the Word today, and I've got a title for us to consider, and that is, are you accepting the humiliation of the cross? Are you accepting the humiliation of the cross? We have shown you over the years that if you too bear your cross daily and take it up and follow the Lord, there is great, great blessing to it, because it leads to resurrection, which we've taught over the years, many years. But there is also another aspect to it, and that is, it's humiliating. We know, because it was the worst form of death given to a victim under the Roman Empire. Only the base, the scum, were put on the cross, and it entailed great suffering. That, I believe, reveals the Father's heart and anger against sin. And it had to take that humiliation, what his Son went through, to deal with sin and to bring peace and joy to our Father's heart. And we know that we too take up our cross daily and follow him. And our cross that we take up is an indication how God dislikes sin, unbelief. And as the cross dealt with reconciliation, that is, reconciling us to God, it had to take the cross, that heinous death. So likewise with us, what we take up daily and follow him is the only thing that will deal with the self-life or those selfish areas in us. And I want us to look into this in detail today, and I trust that you're going to find this, yes, it's challenging, but also encouraging. It gives us hope, and that's why the cross is the center of the gospel message. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, and we will take it up from verse 3. You all know this very well. That speaks of us, the suffering Saviour. And we'll take it up from verse 3 of Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. And then it goes on, we're all like sheep that go astray. What is that revealing? What is it telling us? Well, that is revealing the heart of the gospel. This is one of the most important chapters in the whole of God's word. It is revealing where God is reconciling man back to him in relationship. And he's using his Son, as we know, in which to do this. And the instrument to do this is the cross. And this is the mind and wisdom of God, how he's doing it. But it's one of the most humiliating aspects of Christ's ministry was his crucifixion. And it was the appearance of it. How did all of this appear? Triumphant, glorious, people rejoicing, clapping hands, praising God, because what he's doing is going to free us from sin and unbelief and so on. Not at all. Not at all. You need to read what was going on there. It looked a failure. Does it sound familiar? Of course it does. Your life, my life at times looks a failure. But that is the wisdom and mind of God. And how he says that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And that was the mind and wisdom of God reconciling man back to him that looked an utter and complete failure. And the world then, as it does even today, misinterprets the cross, misinterprets the Christian. You see, they thought that his sufferings, his death, was God's judgment and chastisement upon him. They saw him as a heretic, a troublemaker. They misinterpreted, they couldn't understand what was going on there. And human nature doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun, and we still have it today. Those mocking, those questioning. And sadly, it can even go on in the house of God with the circumcision, until God opens our eyes to the deeper meanings of the revelation of his word. That's why it's so important that we pray for the word. We pray that our minds will be illumined to God's word. We don't know it otherwise. We misinterpret it. And sadly, we have so many heretics and ministers today who are misinterpreting the word of God and do not teach it by the revelation that is revealed. Because flesh and blood do not reveal these things. It comes by the Spirit. Else we will always judge it in our earthly, fleshly intellects. And so, you see, our trials and sufferings are to go deeper, which can include even corrections and even chastenings, God removing hindrances to our unbelief. And that's why we accept the humiliation of the cross that we are to take up daily and follow. The cross is a tremendous correcting for us, but we misinterpret it. The same as they misinterpreted Christ hanging there. And we do the same. And that's why the word of God says that we are to count it all joy when we go through various trials and tribulations and so on. Why? Because it's the cross doing the work. It's removing sin. It's removing unbelief. It's removing all those questions and why and so on. The cross deals with that. As I say so often, it's our greatest deliverer and healing. And that's why, sadly, so few preach it today behind pulpits. You see, we forget that the cross that we take up is to produce, at times, yes, even sufferings, yes, even failures or setbacks for a time. Your trials and not God's disapproval, which at times people misinterpret. Everything that God is doing to the believer who believes in Jesus Christ is all working together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. It's not a failure. It might look a failure. You might feel a failure, but it is not in God's eyes an economy. Far from it. The same as the cross was not a failure for our Saviour, but it was the means of his resurrection, rising up in power and glory. And the cross that you take up daily and follow is the same principle. It is going to do its work and it's going to raise you up in power and glory for the glory of God. And so it's not God's disapproval, even if he is chastening you and he is correcting you like any loving father would do. It's not his anger and disapproval against you. It's his love correcting you and I. God does everything in perfect love. That is the nature of our Father. What does it say in 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And how does he do this? How does he achieve this? It is by the cross. The cross is the central theme and message of the gospel. You remove the cross, you have no gospel. And many are trying to water it down and remove it today in contemporary Christianity, and God won't have it. That is the mind and wisdom of God. That's where we are delivered. That is where we are saved and redeemed and given eternal life. And why do I stress this? Because this is all for his glory. This is where we glorify our Heavenly Father. If we love him, then we love the fact that we glorify his name, and he will show us what glorifies him. What glorifies him is when we trust him. We believe him. We believe in the promises of God's word. We trust and believe him when he takes us through a trial and tribulation. We trust and believe him to the delays of our faith and prayers that we're still waiting for the manifestation. That's what glorifies him. And we have to get our minds out of it. And just walk each day by faith with him in relationship. And he knows what he's doing. You see, are you willing to submit to his pruning? You see, those who accept the humiliation of the cross will go through to the deeper life. And that is what we preach. We've accepted the humiliation. We've accepted the delays in faith. We've accepted the chastening and chastising at times that is needed, because that is what enables us to go through into the deeper life which we preach, that open door which is Jesus. And you can go as deep and as far as you want in the Spirit, you see. We've accepted it. Why? Because we've accepted the cross. We put no terms on the cross. We've accepted its humiliation as well. And if we've done that, then he alone will choose the life that he wishes to live through us for his glory. If you are crucified, there is no resisting. And that is what it is. It's surrendering to his will. It's surrendering to his ways, knowing by faith that this is not wrong for me. You may lose everything, just like Job did. But God is teaching you, he has made no mistake. That is the way we walk. It is the humiliation of the cross. And for a season, it looks humiliating. The same as it did for his son. But did he leave him in that state? No, he didn't. He raised him up for his glory. And he will raise you up and me up in that right time for his glory. You see, you are dead, and he's going to live his life through you. Because that's what happens when you are dead. What do you do when you have a dead person? You could kick them. You could talk to them. You can insult them. You can do all sorts of things. They won't retaliate. Why? Because they're dead. And that is what the cross does. It stops us retaliating. It causes us to keep our mouths shut. And I could just go on and on with that. You see, he's showing us in weakness, that is where his strength lies. And it seems very few are willing to receive or accept this. Why is the cross not popular in teaching in churches? Because of its humiliation. And I don't want to look humiliated. I don't want to look foolish. I don't want to be rejected or laughed at. And that's why most compromise in Christendom. Because you see, if you're willing to take the cross up and follow Christ each day, the Holy Spirit will do the work. You needn't worry. He has a way of working that death to the self-life in us. And it's also interesting as well that if you take your cross up each day, he doesn't ask your permission. He doesn't ask your permission if he wants to pray and intercede through you, or he wants to get you up at 4 a.m. He doesn't ask your permission. You just yield over to it. He doesn't ask your permission to say anything. He'll speak through you. He's not asking you to act or work for him. He will do that through you. He's not asking you to minister. He will minister through you. He will place the calling on you. He will place you in the right time, in the right situation, with the right person or the right people or whatever. You simply yield to him and let him do it. But we are still trying to do it. And that's why things don't happen and we get frustrated and down and disillusioned. When he's trying to tell us, let go, you're in the way. He's not going to ask your permission to suffer some trial or to suffer on behalf of someone else. Someone else's trial or problem or mistakes. God says, I'm not going to ask your permission. You will suffer on their behalf. He's not going to ask our permission to love our enemy, to turn the other cheek, to bless our enemy. He's not going to ask our permission because he's going to do it through us if we yield to the Spirit, to the cross. He's not going to ask your permission to bail someone out of prison. He may ask you to fund that, to pay for that bail. He's not going to ask your permission. He's going to do it through you if you yield, or to help someone out. Are you beginning to see this, brothers and sisters? And many times that's the humiliation of the cross, and people are going to misinterpret that. People are going to say, why are you helping that person who's criticizing, who doesn't like you, or has done you wrong or evil? That's a humiliation. That's what man will say. But if we're yielded over to the cross and allow the life of Christ to work through us each day, he's going to reach out. And it will always look foolish. You won't understand it. Because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But that is the humiliation of the cross. And people will misinterpret the cross in your life at times, even in the house of God, even your brothers and sisters. But in time, God will reveal resurrection. He'll reveal his glory, and he has a way of shutting us all up. Are you willing to give such complete submission to the Holy Spirit? And if you're battling, and if not, and we love honesty here, then you have need to go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there you need to settle it, because it's always the Garden of Gethsemane where the victory is won. As I say so often, the victory of the cross and what Jesus accomplished was won in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, interceding, birthing it through, sweating like drops of blood. And when he had finished, it was done. The victory was done. He had birthed it through. He simply had to let the Romans nail him to the cross. See, God's ways are not our ways. He works so differently to how we think, because man's mind has fallen. It's what sin has done, a fallen world. And how he's restoring us back as he teaches us and guides us and reveals to us his ways. We're all a work in process. I acknowledge that. And it takes time, and that's the grace and mercy of God. But we cannot resist all of this. We just do it his way. And if you really have got problems, then you have to go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there you have to settle it. You know, many can confess, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Many can confess that. We have songs about it. We sing it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're experiencing what you are saying. You see, God has to work these things within us. And you have to accept the humiliation that is attached to the cross. And many times people will misinterpret what God is doing through you, your family, your loved ones, even your wife or your husband will at times misinterpret. I'm reminded of a story that I heard years back of a minister who was called by God to teach the word. And he was down to teach at a certain place, location. And he got news that, I believe it was his father, had died. And he was called to go and to deal with his father's death and so on. And he said, I have been called first to go and preach the kingdom of God, and I will fulfill this calling that I am to do, and then I will deal with my father's death. Wow! That is the humiliation of the cross. Can you imagine what his family or his siblings or whoever thought about that? He got his priorities right. Few of us would do that. Why? Because we've not settled the cross. It will be misinterpreted. But the cross enables and releases you to put first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. And so, this is how God is working. And God is gracious and merciful. He knows where we are, but he's working with us. He's leading us toward the way of the cross. And never limit what he can do. Because the one who now lives in you has triumphed, has overcome. He has overcome all things. And therefore you can, by the power of his Spirit, who worked in him and raised him from the dead, now also works in you and I. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. And that is what God is doing. He's removing the hindrances to our unbelief in receiving the word of God. And this is why faith comes by hearing this word, Romans 10:17. God is doing it today. And this is why we come together in fellowship and get under the anointing, the word, for that deliverance, for that healing, for that change. That is the whole purpose. This is why I say so often as we close now, if the word of God, if the meeting hasn't done a change, hasn't done a healing, a deliverance in you, then it's not really glorified God. It's not the meeting that God wants. Church is where we come to be changed into his likeness, an image. And the early church was experiencing that. Through the baptism of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, they were experiencing it through their unity and oneness. Their meetings changed them. It delivered them. It empowered them because the cross was central. And we have so much division now in Christendom. Over 250 denominations, all of which can't agree. The devil's been very active. But praise God, we're in the times of restoration now, where a true remnant is coming out from all that unbelief, who wants to come back and be restored under the headship of Jesus Christ, and not under some organization or denomination. And this is what he's doing as he prepares the bride, as he prepares the first fruits, the overcomers, who will be ready for the coming of the Lord, who will be in unity and oneness and fellowship. This is how he's doing it. And he's going to do it through accepting the humiliation of the cross. This is what's reconciling us. This is what's bringing us in true unity, oneness, and fellowship. This is what's bringing us into that relationship with Almighty God. You cannot separate the cross. The cross isn't some object you hang round your neck or you place on an altar. We've made it all so attractive and beautiful looking. It's not at all. The cross reveals the stigma, the humiliation of what it costs God to reconcile man back to him. I make no apology for how I've presented this and what God has revealed, because this is the key to growing and maturing into sonship in these last days. Too many are children. They don't want to grow up in the house of God, and we have to. And the cross will do it, so that we enter in to the blessings, to the inheritance of these promises that we read in God's word. Remember, the children of Israel, they rejected the promised land because of their unbelief, their complaining, their groaning against God. But we now have a generation who will fulfill by faith in the Spirit and will enter boldly into that promised land, even though there are giants trying to oppose. Why? Because our confession says we are well able to take them. For it's not by might, not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are helping and encouraging us. You are showing us the key to the overcoming life, how to move on now and possess these blessings, to possess this promised land that you have given to your people. And it's by the way of the cross. As we decrease, so you increase.
Disaster, let him in constancy.